Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this chilly morning, for this last day of the passing year, and for the anticipation that comes from looking forward into a new year tomorrow. Lord, we thank you that each day with you is a year of jubilee. Lord, a year of the loosening of bonds and a year of setting captives free. For you, Lord Jesus, are our jubilee. And we rejoice in that, and we rejoice in you, Lord. Father, we just pray for those who are out on the roads today, that you would protect and preserve and keep them safe. Lord, that you would watch over each one, that you would bring healing where it is needed, provision where it is needed, mercy, Lord, where it is needed, and grace abundantly, Lord, in our lives, we pray. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, and that your word would not return to you void, but that would accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. Lord, help us to be obedient to your word and abundant in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapters 11 and 12. We're going to be there for just the briefest of moments this morning. We'll continue in the book of Acts next Sunday. I had planned this morning to have various folks from different ministries here in the church share what the Lord has been doing, but because of the weather and the absence of many of the folks that I was going to have share, we're going to postpone that until next Sunday. But today represents something that doesn't happen very often, and it's something that that I was very just intrigued by. Last year, how many of you were here Sunday morning, January 1st of this year? Anybody remember? Okay, it's just one of those years where we got to be together on the first day of the year, and now we also get to be together here on the last day of the year. And I think that's pretty wonderful, because it allows us the opportunity to think back over the year and to ask the question, did we accomplish what we set out to do? Did we accomplish what we set out to do? The challenge that I issued to you from this pulpit last year was to purposely pursue positive change in your life. And that positive change that we were to pursue ultimately would be manifested in our intent to be pleasing to God, to be pleasing to Him. That was our primary goal as we moved into this new year, was to conduct our lives in a manner that was pleasing to Him. And that we could accomplish that by being purposeful about making positive changes in our life. I encouraged you at that time to examine your life and to have hope in the reality that God had the power to transform you. We started last year in Hebrews chapter 11, and we were talking about faith. And I'd like us to turn there briefly. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews states that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, hope is faith in the future tense. When we hope for something, we are having faith that that thing that we hope for is going to come to fruition or going to come to pass. And as we look through Hebrews 11, if you take the time to read it on your own, you will see that each of these patriarchs, each of these men and women of faith that are listed here in what we like to refer to as the Hall of Faith, had great faith. And the evidence of their faith was the action that followed it. And we're not going to read through all of them, but just as an example, it says, "For by it," that is by faith, "the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are visible. which were not made of things which are visible, excuse me. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You see, the faith that these people had moved them to action. Now, they were saved because of their faith. They were blessed because of their faith. But the evidence of that faith was the action that followed it. And the action that followed it was undertaken in the hope that it would be fulfilled, that which they had faith in, that the word of God that had been given to them would be accomplished. And so when we make a New Year's resolution or when we make a goal, we do so in the hope that we will accomplish that goal. And that hope in and of itself is a demonstration of faith. And so our purpose last year, our hope last year, was that we could, through following the exhortations of Scripture, by being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Romans talks about, that we could affect positive change in our lives and in our church. And as I look back across the year and I ask the question, have we done that? The answer that I find is a resounding yes, absolutely. There are things that were done in and through and by this body last year that were the direct result of our commitment to be pleasing to him. Amen? One of those was the One Accord concert that we had in the parking lot. That was a direct result of our desire to be pleasing to God and to purposefully affect positive change in our life and in our church. Amen. The excursion to Peru that John and Steve and I undertook, and the follow-up visit that was undertaken by John and Philip just last month, these things were the direct result of that confession of faith, of that desire, of that statement that says we want to live our lives in a manner that is pleasing to God. Our decision as a church body to financially support Calvary Chapel Pachacutec there in the outskirts of Lima, that was a direct result of our desire to be pleasing to him. The school supplies, the crayons, the construction paper, the Bibles that you as a body sent to Peru, those were the direct result of that decision to purposefully engage in positive change and to be pleasing to him. These were the results of a resolution that was kept. Amen. By this church congregation, by you, by me, by the leaders here. Other things that have been undertaken this year, our efforts to provide volunteers for Harvest House on several separate occasions where people were able to go and pray with families who were receiving toys at Christmas time, or the ladies who went and worked together to put together the backpacks that were used to bless school children who needed those supplies. Those things were a direct result of our purposeful decision to seek positive change and to be pleasing to our Lord this past year. And it is thrilling to me as your pastor to see that you as a congregation rose to the occasion, that through hope and through faith and through a determined purpose to be pleasing to God, these actions were undertaken and that they impacted the lives of people who need the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is exciting to me. And that is something that I want to see propel us into the new year as we continue our commitment to be purposeful about making positive changes in our lives and to make it our aim to be pleasing to God. That should be the first and greatest of our New Year's resolutions. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that making a New Year's resolution to lose weight is a great idea. I'm making that resolution myself. Hopefully a year from now, there will be less of me here. That's my goal. I think making a New Year's resolution to be healthier, to eat better, to exercise more, to get sleep, to break away from habits that are bad for you, those are wonderful resolutions. I think making resolutions about, you know, growing in variety of areas in your life, either educationally or emotionally or spiritually, those are all wonderful. But the greatest resolution that we can make is to resolve to be pleasing to God. Amen? To make it our aim to purposefully pursue positive changes in our life that will effectively help us to walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one thing that I want to warn us of, and one thing that I want to recognize as we move forward, that is that we can easily become distracted by the things that we do and forget why it is that they're being done. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, John records the words of the risen Savior. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And we know that those seven golden lampstands are symbolic of the churches. So he who holds the messengers to the church in his hands, he who moves among the churches, this is the one who is speaking. And here's what he says. Verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, I am not saying that we have left our first love, okay? But what I am saying is we don't want to leave our first love. And as we move forward into this new year, looking into the rearview mirror and seeing all that has been accomplished and all the changes that have been made and the new focus that we have in the ministry to strive together for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be of one accord with one another, to be of one mind, to make it our aim to be pleasing to Him and all of the works that come about as a result of that, we don't ever want to lose our focus on maintaining our love for Jesus Christ. You see, you can go to church services every time the doors are open and not be in love with Jesus. You can give 10% of your income and over and above that and still not be in love with Jesus. You can attend every home fellowship, every Bible study, every worship service, and every prayer meeting and still not be in love with Jesus. Because it's very easy for us to adopt a works mentality, to adopt an attitude that says, well, hey, I'm there every time the doors are open and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this other thing. And what does it become? I. And it becomes about doing the things that you think you need to do to feel about yourself or have others feel about you in a certain way. Well, that's not what it's about. the work that we do, the actions that we take, and the decisions that we make must be motivated by love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as we move forward into this new year, yes, I want us to hold on to that resolution of being purposeful about making positive changes in our life, having the hope and the faith that as God renews our mind, we can become more and more like him, that that would be expressed through our efforts and our labors together for the good of God's kingdom and the body of Christ here on earth. Yes, all of those things, but something more, that this year our goal would be to draw nearer to Christ each and every day, that we would grow in our love and our passion for him, that when we show up for worship on a Sunday morning, the uppermost thought in our minds and in our hearts would be, wow, I get to worship my King this morning. And having that desire to draw together into this place to minister together to the Lord. Amen. That is our goal. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And I promised you that I wouldn't keep you long today, so I'm only going to go on for about another 10 minutes, then we're going to worship and I'm going to let you go. But Philippians chapter 3 is where I'd like you to turn next. You see, Paul understood what it was to truly love Jesus Christ. And all of the other accomplishments that he had achieved, all of the other goals that he had reached, all of the other possessions that he had acquired over the years, whatever they might have been, he recognized that compared to knowing Jesus, they weren't worth a darn thing. Here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe." In other words, you need to be reminded, and it's a good thing to be reminded of these things. So he says in verse 2, "Beware of dogs." Now, he doesn't literally mean dogs. "Beware of dogs." Who are these dogs? Well, they're the evil workers, the mutilation. In other words, those who are of the circumcision, those who are saying that in order to be saved, you have to keep the laws of Judaism. So he says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. They claim to be the circumcised." He says, "But you know, we really are the circumcised. We are the ones who have entered into covenant with God." Verse 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh." The Judaizers, those who were trying to lead the people astray, to lead them away from the law of grace and the love of God, they had confidence in their flesh. They had confidence in their works. They had allowed the works to become preeminent rather than the one for whom those works were to be done. Paul says, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Now, does that mean sinless? No, it means you couldn't stick anything on him. Doesn't mean that he never sinned, but it meant that you couldn't prove anything. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's saying, listen, I am pressing toward that goal. What was Paul's goal? The greatest goal of Paul's life was to know Jesus and to be found in him. Amen? To know Jesus and to be found in him. It wasn't his goal to write 2/3 of the New Testament, though he did that. It wasn't his goal to spread the gospel throughout most of the known world, though he did that. It wasn't even his goal to become an apostle of God to the Gentiles, though he did that. There were many things that Paul did, all of which paled in comparison to his ultimate goal. What was his goal? To know Jesus and to be found in him. So that, friends, is the New Year's resolution that I submit to you this morning, that which I hope that you will take the initiative to adopt, that you might know Jesus and be found in him. Affect positive change in a purposeful way? Absolutely. Continue to work for the kingdom without a doubt. Hey, we are to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us. In other words, there's work we have to do, but we have to remember that that work must always be motivated by an underlying and all-consuming love for Jesus Christ. Amen. And that love for him will be expressed in love toward one another. That love for him will be expressed in sacrificial acts of service. That love for him will be expressed in innumerable ways that will be evident as we look back across the year. But that is our goal. That is our purpose, to know him and to be found in him. Amen? Amen. Amen. With that, let's pray and say goodbye to 2017. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you have given us. But above all these things, Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, who died that we might live, who gave himself to pay the price for our sins. Lord, we believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we confess, Lord, that you raised him from the dead. And we ask that you would help us, Lord, to have a heart like that of Paul, to say everything else is rubbish compared to the glory of knowing Jesus Christ and being found in him. May that be our resolution this year as we move forward into the future that you have called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.